You have something in your hand there, Dave.
Yes, Pastor. I just want to read one article that, Lord willing, the Holy Spirit will give you chills with this. This report was found on a tape recorder next to the body of our correspondent in Jerusalem. God rest his soul. This is John Parsons, Last Trumpet reporter. I am in Jerusalem near the Wailing Wall, looking east toward the Mount of Olives, and thinking over the events of the past 7 years. The president of the Federation has brought about stability in the world, but after his seemingly miraculous recovery from a mortal head wound, he has acted in a purely satanic manner. He broke his defense treaty with Israel and has wrought terror throughout the land ever since. The Jewish situation has not looked this bleak since the Holocaust. Many were put to death for refusing the 666 mark, and public executions were common, but the Jewish people refused to say die. The Israeli underground has responded courageously and has dealt serious blows to the Federation. The underground is believed to be directly responsible for the assassination of several Federation henchmen and the liberation of two prison camps near the Egyptian border. But now it seems the whole world has forsaken Israel. As I stand at the wall, I watch the world go to war, probably for the last time. The Chinese have amassed a huge army. Satellite pictures estimate the communist horde at nearly 200 million men. They have marched across the Trans-Himalayan Highway, across the Tigris and Euphrates River, and are gathered on the plain of Armageddon. In the distance, I see the armies of the West under the Federation banner, mobilizing to do battle with the Chinese. It seems inconceivable that in this age of nuclear warfare, such a tremendous land battle could occur. The roar of jets, the rumble of tanks, and the thundering of cannons is ear-shattering. The armies are on the move, and the carnage is unbelievable. Helicopter gunships are everywhere, landing troops and reserves. The tiny Israeli army defending Jerusalem is a pitiful sight compared to the nearly 300 million men battling at their doorstep. Wait, it seems as though the armies are unleashing their fury against Jerusalem. My God, this is going to be wholesale slaughter. No one can stand against all that military might. Lines of tanks have broken through the Israeli defenses and are rolling up the narrow streets. Not only is the holy city being devastated and bombed from both sides, but it is being plundered and looted by savage mobs of crazed soldiers. Fires have broken out all over the city, and women are being raped and murdered in broad daylight. Jerusalem is being ravaged, and the streets are filled with mangled corpses. Through the dense smoke, I see old men and women crying horrified children, screaming insanely, and grieving at the destruction of their city. Hundreds of thousands are fleeing to the desert to avoid the massacre. It seems as though all hope is lost. But wait, what's that sound? It's louder than the clamor of battle, like 1,000 volcanoes erupting in the distance. It's growing louder and louder, but I can't tell what it is or where it's coming from. This can't be. The sun is growing dark. A brilliant figure on a white horse is bursting through the clouds and is storming to earth. My God, it's Jesus Christ. I can see the nail prints in his hands, and on his robe is written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Behind him is a great multitude of angels and saints, also on horses, charging through the air toward the battlefield. The armies of the world have turned their weapons against them, but to no avail. Their tools of destruction have become useless against Christ and his heavenly army. There's a deafening roar as Jesus descends to earth and sets his feet upon the Mount of Olives. The ground is shaking and the whole mountain is splitting down the middle from east to west as the surviving Israelis hurry toward the chasm. They are rushing into the valley crying and wailing and proclaiming Jesus Christ as their Messiah. There is a deadly silence as Jesus raises his hands and a blinding light engulfs everything on the plain of Armageddon. This can't be. The soldiers are falling to the ground, but before they do, their flesh seems to be rotting off their bones. Millions and millions of soldiers are falling before the fiery sword of Jesus Christ. He has come again, saved his chosen people, and the world is at his mercy. God help us. If I survive and someone finds this tape, they will think I'm mad and this is all science fiction. Editor's note, we found this tape near his dead body. We have many reports, but this seems to be the most accurate. So that's our article, my friends, on the second coming of Jesus.
And that's in the paper, and of course, that's a dramatization of a reporter of the Last Trumpet at the time, and this is, and so, and yet within all of that, there are actual things that are taking place today that take some of the things that, while it was a dramatization of a fictional reporter, the actual events, that there are things that are lining up today in the news, is what we've gone through, some of your comparative notes, that we can actually see these things going on right now.
Actually, Pastor, let me just read one more article. Banks folding, conspiracy suspected. Now, just keep in mind, London banks recently were downgraded. The British pound is plummeting already. Britain is in a lot of trouble. Britain right now, their banks are exposed to Spain. Spain is the next country that's going to have a bailout. If you followed what happened in Cyprus, if they mention that Spain's going to have a bailout, there's a distinct possibility that people in Spain are going to start withdrawing their money from the banks before it even happens, and that will be a direct effect on the London banks. Banks folding, conspiracy suspected. London banks are folding as the value of the pound is plummeting. Frantic depositors are lining up hoping to withdraw their savings. The British government has issued statements to calm the public, but to no avail. Similar scenes occurred in other major cities around the world today. Our correspondent in England, Harold Davis, interviewed the president of a leading London bank. To what do you attribute the worldwide economic mayhem? As you know, it's coming for a long time. The Western nations' dependence on oil, unbalanced budgets, low production, inflationary spirals, soaring interest rates, and lack of leadership precipitated this inevitable debacle. There has been talk of a group called the Trilateral Commission that was formed to achieve world domination. The group consists of a handful of men that control banking and industry. They realize that if they can grind the economy to a standstill, the people will be desperate for a leader. The commission will provide a leader with charisma and intellect who will put the world back on its feet. I'm sure you've heard of Big Brother in 1984. Mr. Orwell seemed to have uncanny foresight. You mean to tell me that this is a conspiracy and all these suffering could have been prevented? Yes, these men are trying to convince us that what they will do will save mankind. Isn't it obvious to you that we're all being manipulated by someone? Yes, that appears to be true.
That's incredible. And that's an article in the actual Last Trumpet. And as you so ably described just prior to reading it, where we're at today, what's happening as we speak.
People that know my brother, Dave, are not surprised that he got a T-shirt made with one of his favorite chapters from the Bible, Zechariah chapter 14. If you hear this word, Zechariah 14, and the person listening is not familiar with that, look it up, read it. A friend of mine from church is an expert in different areas of the Bible, but he made a comment to me some time ago. He said, you know, I don't know much about Bible prophecy. I'm going to look into it. And unfortunately, he picked up a book by a famous author, and this famous author actually believes that God has got nothing to do with the Jewish people, nothing to do with Jerusalem. And so my friend got very confused, to say the least. And you know when you get sick and the doctor says, take two aspirins and see
sure.
me in the morning?
Yeah.
Well, I told him, read Zechariah 12, 13, and 14. And there's, I have my Bible here, and I believe Jerusalem is mentioned 22 times in those chapters. It says, Jerusalem shall be built again, even in Jerusalem. I think that would mean Jerusalem. The burden of the Lord, word of the Lord to Israel. And there's a phrase, in that day, it appears 16 times. And where we wrote this article about the second coming of Christ, talking about the Mount of Olives splitting, well, in Acts chapter 1, Dave, take it away.
Okay, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is standing on the Mount of Olives. He ascends into heaven, and the disciples look up, and two angels appear and say, that same Jesus which went up into heaven is going to come back in like manner. So if you read Acts chapter 1 and take note about how Jesus ascended from the Mount of Olives, and then compare it to Zechariah chapters 12, 13, and 14, in context, you will understand, in Zechariah, it says, in that day his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. So Acts chapter 1 talks about Jesus ascending from heaven from the Mount of Olives. The angels say he's going to come back the same way. In order to do that, he'd have to come out of the clouds, and then his feet would have to stand upon the Mount of Olives. So when you look at Zechariah, it says, in that day, his feet will stand upon the Mount of Olives.
Yeah. And if anybody has any doubt about the deity of Jesus Christ, particularly if you're a Jehovah's Witness and you're listening, if you look up the Hebrew word Lord in Zechariah 14, it's Jehovah. In that day, his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives. The word Lord is Jehovah.
Mm. Pastor, I want to share something sure. very, very exciting. I want to share an opportunity that we all have, and I want to expand people's concept of God. People think, you know, God is kind of small. Well, it's going to take a second to explain, but it's worth listening to. A friend of mine, Jerry, gave me a little book about the Hubble Space Telescope, and they have beautiful pictures of the Hubble Space Telescope. Sure. Now, what's interesting, the speed of light is 186,000 miles a second. So if you would travel at the speed of light just for 1 second, Pastor, you'd be around the Earth seven times in 1 second. Now, if you traveled at 186,000 miles a second for 8 minutes, you travel from the Earth to the Sun. So it takes you 8 minutes at the speed of light to get from here to the Sun. You would have to travel 100,000 years at 186,000 miles a second to get across our one Milky Way galaxy. Scientists now estimate there are 350 billion galaxies. Now, Pastor, it's called the law of cause and effect. The effect of those 350 billion galaxies. That's the effect. The cause is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's the cause. He's the cause. He's coming back to the Mount of Olives. He's going to be sitting on the throne of David. When you think about it, how could a being speak 350 billion galaxies into existence? And he wants to have a personal relationship with us, and we have an opportunity to be his servant. Mm. So I'm very, very excited about that, Pastor.
Well, we are too. And I'd like to give out the information one more time, make sure everyone get a chance to get The Last Trumpet. I love what it says, too. Tomorrow's News Today. And it was 33 years ago that that these two gentlemen wrote this paper as a tract, as a means with which to witness and testify of the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, again, you can go to, the best way to do it is go to johnmcternan.name. That's the website that helps to host the paper. So go to John McTernan, that's McTernan.name. johnmcternan.name, and scroll down on the left side for The Last Trumpet, and you get a chance to subscribe to it. It's absolutely free. More information will be sent to you, but you can also get the PDF of it and take a look at for yourself this 8-page newspaper that is still prophetic today, because it's all based out of the Word of God. Nothing added and nothing taken away. Why don't you take some closing thoughts? Go ahead, Willie. What do you have there?
Sure. In Zechariah 12, 13, and 14, it speaks about the reaction of the Jewish people when they finally see their Messiah. It actually is in Zechariah 12, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And in the next chapter, 13:6. And one shall say to them, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. And you know, I tell you, God has got such an amazing love for the Jewish people, and we should too.
Yes, we absolutely should. And so we do by also making this available, as we said. So please go visit the site today. It's John McTernan, McTernan, and .name. And you can get the copy of The Last Trumpet. And we appreciate having taken the time to stay with both Dave and Willie Houser. Thank you so much for being with us. And thank you for The Last Trumpet. And we'll talk to you again.